here or even if you were here last week, it's all in the statement of faith of Potomac Believers Fellowship. And the statement, not statement of faith, the mission statement. I have a statement of faith on my mind because of doing some work on it yesterday with Margie. But the mission statement, remember, part one, worship God. Part two, today, make disciples. Part three, impact the world. So there's three prongs to the PBF mission statement. Pastor Chuck and the elders some years ago, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, directing their minds and hearts, developed this. So, worship God. You got that? Let's say that out loud. This is the first part. Worship God. All right? One, two, three. One more time. Worship God. Today, make disciples. All right? So, yeah, we're going to say it out loud. You're a good student. So, on three, we're going to say, make disciples. Second prong. Ready? One, two, three. Make disciples. And then next week, third part of this mission statement is impact the world. Okay, impact the world. So one, two, three, impact the world. So 2 weeks ago, one of the elders, Josh Andrews, preached a message on disciples, discipling disciples. And I remember as he was preaching, I was here sitting under it, and it was an excellent message. September 26th, if you missed it, go back and either listen to it or watch it at the website. And I remember thinking, this is great. And I already knew I would be preaching on it in 2 weeks. And I thought, well, today I can do one of two things. I can sit down and we all watch Josh on TV for a second time, okay, and say, wow, yeah, that was good. I checked in with the elders a week ago and said, you know, the Lord had already placed on my heart making disciples. And in one way or another, they said, well, two different people will always say things two different ways. And not only that, but in our learning from the scriptures to obey, it's precept upon precept. It's biblical fact upon biblical fact. So we're more and more changing into the Lord God. Thank you. Oh, you were concerned I might go flying? Oh, God bless you. Thank you. I've only done, I think, in my 44 years. Is this 44 years? 46 years of pastoral ministry. I've only done two flips off the platform, so not to worry. And both times I survived. So making disciples, God must have something very significant for us. Not because Josh and I preached the message, no. But because he has us hearing from his word on make disciples, 2 out of 4 Sundays. That's very significant, 2 out of 3 Sundays. That's very important. So we say, thank you, Lord, because you have something for us, and I'm going to ask you to just pray that we'll be open. What is it, Lord? You have something for us. Scriptures today, Matthew chapter 28. If you haven't turned there yet, turn in your Bible. If you don't have your Bible with you, your electronic device, Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Okay, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so we're going to look at 4 components today, 4 components of making disciples. Okay, and I think you guys might have to move that. I believe it froze, and that's okay. Freezing happens. So in these four components, let me just ask an introduction question. Okay, oh, forgot the message in a sentence. Make disciples is God's priority for his children. It is the priority. In addition to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors as yourself, and remember that's the most important commandment upon those to hang all the law and prophets. In addition to that, this is God's priority for you, his daughter or son, for me, his son. The priority. Don't forget that. Introduction. What is a disciple? Well, it's a follower of Jesus. In those days, and actually through the centuries, a follower who didn't just walk around and say, well, I'm going to walk in his footsteps. No, it was a follower of his ways. It went beyond the Jewish community. That's what Jesus was. He was a rabbi. I'll say more of that later. He was God himself. But people were disciples of other famous men. They were followers. They followed the way of others. But this was not only a famous man, a perfect man, but he was the God-man. And so it means a follower of Jesus, an adherer. What in the world is an adherer? Well, to adhere to something means to stick to it, to be like glue. And these men stuck with Jesus like glue. Sadly, at his crucifixion, they ran. They made themselves non-adherers temporarily. But we're going to hear more about setbacks and failures within being a disciple. A disciple is a learner who obeys Jesus. In the word disciple has to do with learning and getting knowledge, cognitive, the facts about Jesus. So Tuesday night when you come here, when you women gather together under the teaching of someone else online or under one of your ladies' teaching, when you men gather and under the teaching of one of your men or from someone else, you're getting the facts about Jesus, about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're getting the facts of who God is. For what? Not knowledge for knowledge's sake, but a cognitive learning, line upon line, precept upon precept, so we will obey. And we're going to see more about that later. So it's cognitive as well as response. Knowledge following through on knowledge with obedience. Very important. Other religions emphasize knowledge, and their obeying is under normally a very strong, authoritative religious leader who says, you must do that, you must do this in order for me to like you or love you. And God, through Jesus, said, I love you. Out of this response to my love, I want you to obey. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's part of being a learner. But not only that, it's an apprentice. And remember what an apprentice is in everyday life? Might be a plumber who's learning from a master plumber, electrician learning from a master electrician, a welder learning from a master welder. You name the trade. It's someone learning from the master. So an apprentice disciple is a follower of Jesus learning from the master teacher, the Lord. It's us learning from the Lord of our lives. It's these 11, and remember in 1 Corinthians, here in chapter 28 of Matthew, it says 11. Sadly, Judas, the 12th disciple, had already taken his life. Very tragic. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, it says, and Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared to up to 500 others at one time. It is possible this is the one time that it's referencing in 1 Corinthians 15, 6. So this could have been 11, the men, and then 500 men, possibly women and children, who were adherents, apprentices, followers, people who obeyed Jesus, people who said, we're in. This is our Savior. This is our Lord. This is our Deliverer. They didn't understand. Remember, they didn't know everything about it yet. They were just getting a hold of, and I'll reference this in a minute, they were just getting a hold of that Jesus is resurrected from the grave. He what? We were just running, thinking we were dead people. The Romans, just like they killed our Savior and Lord, our leader, are going to get us and kill us. And so that's the background of what is a disciple. Now, the four components, okay? Four components. Component number one, make disciples, involves responses. And these three responses, right there, the responses to Jesus. The first one is seen in verse 17. They went to the mountain in Galilee that Jesus designated, and there the 11, it says they worshiped him. They bowed down to him. Remember in the Gospel of John, now in verse 4, chapter 4, it's referencing and it refers to the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, worshiped him after learning more about of the living water that he would give. And Jesus interacts with her and gets her to thirst and understand she's thirsting not after mere physical water from that well, but spiritual water. He helped her understand, and he, through his grace and power and the Holy Spirit working behind the scenes, opened her eyes so that she saw her life was meaningless, that she was striving and looking for love and meaning in all the wrong places, had six different husbands, and the seventh one, they weren't even married, they were living together, and she was looking for love there. And in one nuance and another, Jesus showed her, that's not going to be living water. And that isn't worship. The Father seeks true worshipers. And these people in Matthew chapter 28, verse 17, were true worshipers, just like the woman at the well became. Because she went back to the others of her friends and relatives and said, come see a man who told me everything about me. And this is Brubaker paraphrase. It doesn't say it in the scripture. And he accepted me right where I am. And he's going to give me and you a living water we don't understand. In other words, we're going to be refreshed in an intangible way. And we're going to worship the Lord in spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, but also in an attitude of vibrancy, our inner spirit, and in truth, facts, cognitive, the facts about Jesus, and response, obedience. With our spirits, we will obey and worship. But not only that, it says, and some doubted. What in the world did they doubt? Well, in the last chapters of all four gospel accounts, Matthew 28 earlier references that they doubted, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20. When the women came back from the tomb that was empty, and some of them saw Jesus person to person, and they told the 11 disciples. One, Thomas, wasn't there when Jesus showed himself, and he doubted. But when the women came back and reported, and I find that fascinating, Jesus revealed himself in his resurrected body to women first. So Jesus, the resurrected Savior, all God and all man, was not a woman hater and a woman putter downer. That's huge. Our culture says he is, because they say it, and other cultures do, out of not knowing the scriptures. Don't argue, but kindly remind them if they're open. Oh, Jesus loved women in a way that was never shown by men in that day. Never. Never. He was the one. They went back, reported his resurrection. The men said, don't believe you. You don't know what you're talking about. There was doubt. Why is that in the middle of a discipleship training passage or teaching passage? Because God shows real people. If you're being discipled, you're going to struggle with setbacks. If you're discipling someone, they're going to struggle with setbacks. When we are working with people and when we look at our lives, if we are vulnerable and real, we will tell people, this past week I took 2 steps backwards. Only we'll put it, if it's a safe person. You don't go out and announce that on Facebook or some other social media. At least I wouldn't recommend it. But I would say, if you're a man, at least tell one other man, hey, I've struggled this week in this area. I've had doubts. I've had setbacks. Women, I'd encourage you to at least one other woman who's safe. Share it. Why? Because then you'll understand that you're not alone. One of the tricks of our own sin nature or the enemy, the devil, but he can only be at one place at one time working on one person. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. Don't forget that. One place, one time. He has lots of minions, demons, but one of their tricks is to have us feel isolated and we're the only one dealing with it. It's a huge trick. Some doubted, right in the text, setback. Oh, this isn't said to rationalize doubt, to justify disobedience. No. No, God still calls for the high standard. Be holy as I am holy. But he does not set that in order for legalism and rules and shame. He sets that because he alone is perfect, and then in his righteousness, he clothes us when we trust in him as Savior and Lord. He clothes us with his Son, Jesus Christ's righteousness. Third response, they obeyed. Notice in verse 16, it says the 11 went to the mountain that Jesus told them to. They obeyed him, even in this post-resurrection setting. So it's not just facts, because mere knowledge makes us arrogant. It's response of obedience. The second component of make disciples. Make disciples involves lifestyle. Did you know that verse 19 of Matthew 28, the command isn't go. Do you know that? I forget how old I was when I learned that. Go actually is as you're going or while you're going. It's assumed. It's like Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Teach these things to your children as you're lying down in bed or getting ready to go to bed, as you rise up, as you eat, as you do work, while you are going. This is an Old Testament principle that God, through the Holy Spirit, through the writer Matthew, said, no, while you are going. Now catch this, listen very carefully. So those of us who are parents of children age 1 day through 18, your teaching, listen, your training, your discipling, you have your disciples right there. While you are going, You have one child, you have a disciple. You say, I want to have a greater significance. Oh, wait, dear, my dear friend. That is a significance. Our children, your children, my children, are a priority. You have five or eight children, you have five or eight disciples. While you're going. So we're teaching our children, or if they're out of the nest, or we're single adults and don't have children, or you name it, then we're teaching our disciple as we are going. In private, 2 weeks ago, Josh made a very important clarification description. He said it's not only sitting down in a public setting and studying the Bible and getting more facts, but if you're a man having the guy over, maybe lifting weights together, or going out hunting together, or going for a walk on the Appalachian Trail, or Appalachian, depending on what part of the country you're from. It's doing, maybe you do a project together. Women, it might be doing a project together, working out together. See, while you are going, and what does while you are going imply? Lifestyle. While you're going, and listen, it doesn't mean we don't go across the seas. But too often, this verse 19 is applied and is applied right past most of us here in the seats or elsewhere out there in pews when you get back to your church. Right past us. Because the go and make disciples is tied into too often a missionary who goes to another state or another country. Now, that's part of this, but the main part is might be going across the yard to the neighbor. If you're in a condo building like Margie and I are, going across the hall, we're on the first floor, going up the steps, going, yes, across seas, going across, what do you call those little things? The floor at the workplace, cubicles, going to another cubicle. When it's ethical, you don't witness on time where you're supposed to be working, unless the Holy Spirit overrules, but I'll leave that up to the Holy Spirit in you. I'm resting on this for a while because it's huge. This is a lifestyle of any age. For those of us who are in our 60s, while we are going, make disciples. This isn't just, and again, this was emphasized 2 weeks ago. This isn't just for the pastor or the deacons or the elders or any other man or woman who has a title in a church. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. This is a lifestyle. It's like Pastor Chuck used to say, I was told this, said it a lot. The church is an army of volunteers. And so it's for every volunteer. If you and I are believers and followers, apprentices, adherers to Jesus Christ, have allegiance to him, we're a volunteer. We're a minister. Minister isn't just the pastor. Minister means to serve. And we are a disciple who is to make disciples. And John 17:8 says, just as the Father sent me, I'm going to send you. This is in the middle of his prayer, Jesus' prayer. I'm going to send you out into the world. Who's the you? The disciples. And we're sent by Jesus, and we're sent like Jesus. How did the Father send him? Well, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, and Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. So one of the ways Jesus was sent for seeking and saving, we don't save, but by God's Holy Spirit, we sure do seek. and we look for the perfect opportunity and the kind where they ask the question, what's different about you? Just like Jesus was sent, we're sent. But not only that, in chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So, in our lifestyle, while you and I are going, we serve, we're serving, we have a servant-like attitude, and we're seeking. So it does involve sharing the good news. Third component, real quickly, make disciples includes a process. So implied in while you are going, implied in make disciples is that boys and girls, including our own children, will trust Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Implied in this, make disciples, is like in Acts chapter 2, when they interrupted Peter's message and they said, what shall we do then? And Peter said, repent. In other words, turn from your sin and believe in this Jesus as Savior and Lord and be baptized. Acts chapter 16, the jailer asks Paul and Silas, well, what must I do to be saved? And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's implied in verses 19 and 20, make disciples. And then the process after that is, and what's next? Repent from sin, believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord, and get baptized. Baptizing them in the name of the Father. Why the name of the Father? Because he designed salvation. And the name of the Son. Why that? Because he carried out salvation on the cross, then was buried and rose again, had an empty tomb. And God the Holy Spirit, at the moment we believe, it says the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, and he seals us to the day that Jesus Christ comes back again. So all three yet one, God, as I prayed earlier, and it shows that they own us. Not in a negative enslavement way, but a possession of, oh, we're the son and daughter of the triune God. I am his, and he is mine. And so it shows possession, and then teaching, here it is. It's not teaching for facts, but in verse 20, teaching to obey all that I commanded you. It's for a response. It's for following a command. It's, wow. I am teaching my children not just a bunch of facts, but to obey this all-loving, all-powerful, all-compassionate, all-sovereign, all-in-control God. And to have them sense in awe, A-W-E, in wow, God, and in oh, my dear God, I bow to you. So may they see wonderment in us moms and dads, and may they see a holy respect. The fourth component. Make disciples includes all. Or if you're from Philly or New York or North Jersey, all. Okay? Make disciples includes all. And after church, let's have a hot dog and a cup of coffee. So all. All authority, all nations, all commands, and all days. All authority. It says in the scriptures right there that Jesus speaking to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That means he has authority in heaven over all the spirit world, good angels and evil angels. Satan, listen, Satan has no power over him. None. None. Demons, no power over him. All authority has been given to me, Jesus, in heaven and on earth. No human being. That's why, though we pray, like all get out for the elections, and we pray trusting God to lead, God is going to move people in and out of office with his little finger. Did you catch that? And if it's the one that you don't want in office at any cost, and he or she gets in office, I'm talking to myself here, it's not, oh my word, I've lost. No. All authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. How much is all? All. I had a professor, I had a professor who would say, all means all, that's all means. All authority. And what sealed the deal? I'm sorry, that sounds very Madison Avenue. But what sealed this authority? When Jesus died, was buried, and is he alive? Answer me. Yes. Did he come back from the grave? Did that seal all authority? You better believe it. Yes. That's what's talking about here. This is an Easter Sunday statement. This is a hallelujah. God is in control. God is moving. God is alive through Jesus Christ. In fact, God and the Holy Spirit, first and third persons, never died. And Jesus did die, but he didn't die out of weakness. He died out of strength to pay the price that you and I deserved. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. And then all nations, oh, the cultures and the people. I remember, and he had some good principles, but decades ago, this has nothing to do with the gender movement and all of those things having to do with rainbows. But decades ago, there was a leader who got all kinds of followers together, and he called it the Rainbow Coalition. Do you older ones remember that? And it was somewhat of a brilliant human move. And he was a political person. Listen, I don't know if he thought it was original or not. Make disciples of all nations. Listen very carefully. That's the original Rainbow Coalition. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in whose sight? Say it louder. Whose sight? You better believe it. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, that's what it says in Revelation. And so no one's left out. The world leaves people out. The world, this system of the cosmos, the values of the world, that's power up, power over, be in control, they still leave people out. They leave it out, people out because of ignorance, because of evil in the heart that we act like doesn't exist, which I don't understand. The interview on TV, how could that happen in our neighborhood? Isn't that the main line after something bad happens? How could that happen in our neighborhood? And this is going to sound flippant, but I so want to walk up to them in love, and say, oh, my dear friend, it's because we're not evolving, becoming better and better. It's the lie of evolution. No, evil is in the heart. And Christians and non-Christians do evil things. And my dear friend, everyone needs a Savior. And that's the only way that I'm forgiven and you can be forgiven. All commands. So we're to teach everything to our children. You say, that takes a lifetime. Ah, you're getting it. That's going to take a lifetime to learn to obey for me. The older I get, the more I realize what I do not know and what I do not understand about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all days, here it is. Do not miss this. Do not miss this. Do not miss this. Discipling is hard. There are going to be doubts, setbacks, failures. When I was a young man as an associate pastor in, two different churches, first two churches I was paid associate pastor. Some of the people I discipled, in fact, I used to feel like I was snake bitten. That's a little weird expression. They drifted from the Lord. I remember thinking, is it me? Am I missing this? Have you worked alongside of someone and they've drifted from the Lord and it feels so sad? Have your own children drifted of the Lord? Possibly. All the days, what's the promise? And surely I, Jesus, I am with you always, all days. How long is he with us? Always, all days. Just some of the days, just the good days? No, all days. And what's this promise, especially in the context? Make disciples. So Jesus is saying, I understand, my daughter. When that woman that you're encouraging, influencing, discipling, mentoring, leading, whatever word you want to use here, there's not magic just in one word. I understand, my daughter, that she's roaming. I think it's in some ways unbelievable and in some ways very profound that the God-man, the one in control of the universe, had one of his 12 be a son of perdition, Judas. Does that ever cause your mind to be boggled? Wait a minute. He's perfect. I'm not. I believe, and there are other reasons why God had that, ordained that, allowed that. I'll let the words up to him for Judas. But I believe one was for us to see, oh, this discipleship ministry is hard work. This making disciples takes time. And it's going to include doubts, setbacks, and failures. And I allow Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, three in one, to pick me up and pick them up and say, we're going to keep on going. Do you get it? Do you understand it? Some do, and I think you all get it. Maybe this is like, I never saw and heard and thought of this encouragement before. So, I don't know where you are in your Christian walk, but concluding, would you like to have someone disciple you? Praise team, come on up, please. Would you like to have someone disciple you? Maybe you've been thinking of that for years. When I was a young man, I didn't realize it completely. Now I'm talking about in our early married years. So I was out of high school, out of college, and Margie and I were newly married. It was before children. And she and I each wanted someone, and I don't know if we used the word disciple. This would have been in the mid-70s. The word disciple didn't become a buzzword until somewhere in the mid to late 70s. In fact, we were talking about it the other night with good friends. And disciple, back when we older people were children, was normally done by Sunday school teachers. And the most important one, by parents. We weren't called disciplers or disciplees. We just call it teaching, leading, influencing. My point is this. If you're hungry like Margie and I were in our early married days for someone to disciple, but you've never verbalized it, you've never said publicly, as we sing this song, I want to have a different kind of invitation. It's two things. This is a very holy, private moment. It's between you and the Lord. That's what makes it holy. It is personal because it's saying, I want someone to disciple you. And I'm really even encouraging you and me not even to think, and I want it to be this person. We're going to allow, in this morning, God to do the connecting and the matching in the future. Or maybe you're already discipling your children, you've owned it, and you just want to say, I'm going to just say it publicly, I own that. I've been doing it, but I never thought of saying, I'm doing this and I want prayer support from others. And then the second question is, would you like to disciple someone? Now, that's very personal. That's a holy thing too, a holy moment between you and God. And it's also making a decision of the will. But listen, remember the lifestyle thing as you are going? Now, that's very public. And so that's why I'm going to give a personal and public invitation. And if you've never thought of your children as a disciple to you, or you thought of it, but you've never said at any moment publicly, I'm going to say, I believe Jesus is with me like he promised, and I'm going to say, I want to do this to the best of the Holy Spirit's strength in me. I invite you, I want someone to disciple me to come up. I want to disciple someone, and it's going to be my children to come up. That's the Holy Spirit's leading you. But I want you to think about it. Just take some moments of quiet before we sing and pray to the Lord. Lord, is this something that you want me to make public today? I want someone to disciple me, Lord. I want to disciple someone. Quiet prayer between you and God. Lord God, you've heard our quiet prayers, and now move. If men and women are just to have this decided at their place where they're standing, God, then so be it. If there is to be a public standing before you and others, our friends, our church family, people that we're possibly closer to than our own blood relatives, family, then God, lead us men and women to stand up here humbly and boldly in Jesus' name. Praise team, lead us. Friends, stand and let the Holy Spirit lead you. If you're to come, you come.
Open up, you ancient door. Open up, you ancient doors. Swing wide, you gates. And let the King of Glory come in and take his place. We want to see you lifted high above all things and crowned as King, King of Glory. Open up, you ancient doors. Open up, you ancient doors. Fling wide your gates and let the King of Glory come in and take his place. Open up, you ancient doors. Fling wide your gates and let the King of Glory take his place. We want to see you lifted high above all things and crowned as King, King of Glory. For you are good and we will sing and shout your praise. Every knee will bow, every heart confess, Yeshua, you are Lord, Yeshua, you are Lord of all. We'll sing with a shout, we will proclaim, you are our God, you are our King. Yeshua, you are Lord. Yeshua, you are Lord of all. We'll sing with a shout, we will proclaim. You are our God. You are our King of Glory. King of Glory. Yes, you are King of Glory. Yes, you are. So we want to see you lifted high. We want to see you lifted high above all things and crowned as King, King of Glory.
So, Lord God, in the coming days and months, however long you choose, would you blend, bring together, connect, and match the disciples and the disciplers? Would you help us as Potomac Believers Fellowship be a people, be households, be families, be single adults, be children who are making disciples, who will make disciples, and will be disciples, will be teachable. Oh God, work very privately and work very publicly. We're excited, Lord, look forward to see how your hand is going to move compassionately and sovereignly in each of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in the peace and power of the Lord.